AmericanWorkersRadio.com.
You're listening to American Workers Radio, a national network promoting American-made products, with your host, Michael Blihash.
Well, welcome once again to another edition of American Workers Radio here on 860 AM, serving Philadelphia and the entire tri-state area, as well as the entire world, simply by going to the front page of our internet site and logging on to Listen Live Now. You can go to AmericanWorkersRadio.com, and also after today's broadcast, we will have a rebroadcast of today's show, so I hope that you'll help us spread the word. Well, I want to say that we had an unbelievable response lately from all of the people who have been speaking up about our 2015 theme, Grow Jobs in America. And those listeners are really doing a very good job contacting their local officials, telling them that we need to restore the trades and industrial arts programs in America's schools because we're just losing people and we have to get them back in. We're going to be talking about several special things today. But first, I want to introduce a special guest that we have. And in fact, Mark Andel and Rich Logis were with us last week. We had a great discussion. Larkin is on a special assignment. And today is a very historic day because we have a special guest with us who is going to be talking about his efforts to make sure that good things happen in the world of manufacturing. He is Scott Paul, and I have Rich Logis on the line, and Mark will be with us in a few minutes. But Rich, I'm going to ask that you introduce Dr. Scott Paul today, and let's see what he has to tell us new that's happening in manufacturing.
Thank you, Michael. Good morning, everyone. Good morning to our listeners. Scott, how you doing? Thanks for coming back on.
You bet. Rich, great to be with you and Michael and Mark when he joins us in a bit.
I appreciate, again, on behalf of our listeners coming on, as a reintroduction for our listeners who recall having you on last year. Scott was featured alongside Mark in the Made in America movie. And as an introduction, Scott, to listeners who are now meeting you here for the first time, what I had in mind in having you come back on, we've got the numbers in for 2014 in manufacturing. We want you to give us the good, bad, and ugly as you saw it for all the manufacturing data that we have now from 2014.
Yeah, I'd be happy to do that, and I always like to remind people as well, Rich, that each of those data points represents a job, someone's livelihood, and which is why we take it very seriously, and we urge our elected officials, our president, our Congress, our governors to do the same. So I imagine that most Americans, those in manufacturing, those who are making stuff, guys like Mark, are probably feeling a whole lot better today than they did, say, 5 years ago, which was one of the worst years we had in manufacturing since the Great Depression. So we made some progress in 2014, but not enough, and in other areas we kind of slipped behind, and I'll be able to articulate that for you. So we grew some manufacturing jobs, and over the last 2 years, we've added about a little under 375,000 manufacturing jobs, which is positive progress. But when you kind of move the lens out and look at the broader picture of the economy, Rich and Michael, what it shows you is that manufacturing is still underperforming, that most of the jobs that are being created are in lower wage sectors and not in manufacturing, and that we're creating fewer jobs than even we were before as a percentage of our overall economy. So I'm concerned about that. But at least we are creating jobs rather than seeing too many of them being destroyed. So I think that is the modestly positive news that I have. Now, we face a lot of challenges. One of those challenges is our trade posture. And there we're falling farther and farther behind. We all hear a lot of talk, and I know you guys do, about reshoring, about bringing jobs back to America. And we can all point to some anecdotes where that's happening. But the fact is there's still a whole lot of more products coming into the United States than there are being exported from our country. And we saw a record trade deficit with China in 2014, $340 billion. That's more than a $1 billion, almost $1 billion a day, which is pretty stunning. And we saw a record manufacturing goods trade deficit. And so that says to me that our policies are out of whack, because we have dedicated guys like Mark who have the know-how. We have skilled workers, and we're always looking for more of them, no doubt. We have remarkable natural resources in this country, and we have pretty low energy prices. So we should be doing a lot better. And what that argues to me is that we've got some policies that are out of whack, some policies that may benefit Wall Street rather than Main Street and our manufacturers, some policies that say go get a four-year college degree instead of study for the trades, some policies that are saying defer all of our built-up needs to rebuild our infrastructure, which is crippling a lot of our ability to make progress. So 2014, we're certainly making some progress, but there's a lot more that we can and should be doing.
Scott, a couple things on your points. And I just want to invite all of our listeners to visit your organization's website, AmericanManufacturing.org. I have to say, Scott, you guys have some great content on that site. Really, I've not seen a lot of your blog posts, some of the data you have, the articles. I've not seen it anywhere except for your site. I'm really going to encourage our listeners to go there, AmericanManufacturing.org. Scott, a couple things based on what you're saying. First thing is this. First question. Do you undoubtedly you've heard about the recent news with the tax holiday to reduce, at least temporarily, corporate tax with the hopes of bringing more tax revenue, maybe more jobs, maybe more manufacturing. Can you talk about that on the surface? Good idea. Do you think it's time for us to really talk about this issue? I mean, the corporate tax is something that, right, we've been hearing about this for years now. And companies always love to use this as a reason for why they've gone elsewhere.
They sure do. And I'll make a couple of comments. One of the arguments, and I hear this made a lot, Rich, is that multinational companies, so like the Apples of the world, the General Electrics of the world, they park a lot of their earnings offshore to avoid paying taxes on them coming back to the United States. And that if we lowered that tax rate significantly for a brief period of time, that a lot of that money would come surging back to the United States, and then we'd reform our international tax policy so that there would be a set rate that's lower than it's currently set for that would tax the overseas earnings of these multinational companies. So the thing that I think a lot of people forget is we have tried this before. In fact, we tried it back in the early 2000s, in 2003, 2004, where there was a repatriation provision, it's called, and corporations could bring that money back to the U.S. It ended up having no discernible effect on creating jobs. What corporations did was pay off a lot of debt and increase their dividends for their stockholders in some cases. And there really wasn't any kind of boost for our U.S. Treasury. And so when I look at that, I'm like, well, you know, why would you do the same thing again? Why would the outcome be any differently? But I would be quick to add this, that I do think we have some work to do on corporate taxes for manufacturing, because I think about it this way. A retail store, a grocery store, a hospital, a bank, they're all going to be in your community, no matter what the tax rate is, because they go where the customers are. You cannot say the same thing about manufacturing. Manufacturing is probably going to go where it costs the least amount to do it, where it produces the most value for the folks who are doing it. And so the tax rate has an extraordinary impact on the ability of manufacturing to be competitive. But when you hear leaders talking about we need corporate tax reform, what they're talking about is lowering the rate a lot for Wall Street, for Walmart, and the challenge is for manufacturing, and because there's already some manufacturing tax deductions in the tax code already, we could actually see a tax increase for manufacturing. Wall Street, Walmart would be getting a tax cut. Manufacturing would be getting a tax increase. That's not my idea of how corporate tax reform should proceed. So we're watching it very, very closely, Rich, and we think that there's a lot of issues we have to figure out. We could have a more competitive tax code, but we certainly don't want to do it in a way that's going to put manufacturing further in the hole.
You know, Scott, that was a very interesting point. Do you believe that there is a way for us to expose all of the ideas on the table so that people get the understanding that they're willing to give the tax breaks to Wall Street, but not for the everyday manufacturers in the states and communities?
We've been doing our very best. We also have some allies in Congress who feel very strongly about it. Since I know you're broadcasting from Pennsylvania, Senator Casey has been a big ally on those issues. But yes, we will continue to do that. There's a load of information on our website, and I appreciated the shout out for it. I know our team works very hard to provide up-to-date, accurate, insightful information and some pathways to for folks to take action. But what I will say is I don't anticipate that anything in Congress is going to happen on tax reform for a long time, for months and months and months. So this isn't like a right now issue, but this is something that we should start getting concerned about in the spring and the summer and laying the groundwork on it to prevent some bad things from happening. But yeah, we're it's going to take a big effort to push back, because Wall Street sees it very much in its interest. Walmart and the big retailers see it in their interest. And manufacturing is going to have to be in the position of saying, look, there's a way to do this, but we are way more impacted by taxes than you guys are in terms of where we can produce. So there's a lot at stake, and we are helping to get the word out.
Scott and Rich, I want you to know that Mark Andel is on the line with us. And by the way, this is a very historic day for American workers, because they had a special program this morning at 9:45 there in Georgia. And I'm going to ask Dr. Mark Andel, who is an unbelievable guy, to tell us a little bit about that program this morning.
Yeah, hi, Mike. Hi, Scott and Rich. Scott, nice to have you on. Thanks for being partners. Yeah, I'm down in Atlanta, Georgia. It's sad when 20 degrees is warmer than Buffalo, where I'm from. It feels warmer down here. We had a big day. The movie, Scott, that you were a part of, the American-made movie, was taken to another step. It became, what they did is they developed the National Education Initiative, and which the movie's part of, but it's a package, and they've got Governor Nathan Deal and John Ratzenberger today, and the lieutenant governor, and the head of the superintendent of schools, and the state manufacturing STEM program specialist, and all these people got together today, and they announced, and Clyde Strickland and Sandra Strickland, that actually sponsored and had the vision of the American-made movie and want to really help rebuild manufacturing and skilled workers, raised another $1 million to launch this program. It is accepted as of today in 932 Georgia schools. It'll start being taught from 5th grade to 12th grade this August in all the Georgia schools. And I had some good talks with Karen Flight, who is partnered with Georgia Tech, and we talked about the skilled worker shortage, what I'm going through for welders, how this ties with manufacturing. And basically, it was a great day in the movie, and the curriculum and this package will be taught in the Georgia schools, and they're hoping that it'll be the pilot state and get it in all states. So a really big day, Mike. It was great to be part of. I get some nice pictures. I sent you guys some, you know, for the governor took the time. And Georgia is really on the move.
Well, see, Georgia is the first state, and boy, from the first step, you can go a lot of steps and go somewhere. So we're going to have to go after some of the other governors to look at what happened today and maybe get this moving in their own individual states.
And there's about six states online once this has been adapted. Now, Georgia schools, Clyde and Senator Strickland, who sponsored the movie and the effort and the initiative. Clyde came from nothing and built his business, which is Metro Waterproofing, a big company down here that he developed. But he really believes, you know, once this, they got six states on board to also take this education initiative and be taught in schools. And the whole goal is to increase the awareness of the skilled worker shortage and help our manufacturers, because it's the number one problem. I think, Scott, you know, the shortage of the skilled worker in the relationship, you know, I always said the parents and the guidance counselors have to make it okay to work with your hands. But we can't grow the country, and I can't even grow my company, General Welding and Fabricating, without having skilled workers. And this is a great start to get it back into school, raise awareness with the children.
You're absolutely right, Mark. You know, as we have Scott Paul, who is doing an unbelievable report on manufacturing, Scott, you know, the statistics are as the baby boomers are retiring, more than 10,000 Americans retire from the workforce every day of the week. And a large portion of those people retiring are people who have many levels of skills, but there's not enough younger skilled workers to replace them. So what you did today down there in Georgia, Mark, is you really opened the door for us to start addressing this. We've been pushing this idea of getting it back into the schools. It has to happen, because we can't just have people with academic pieces of paper. They have to have some hands-on experience. What do you think of the 10,000 people retiring every day, Scott? And they say 80% of them represent skilled workers.
It is a demographic crisis that we are going to have to confront, and it's obviously something that Mark sees every day as a businessman, you know, hiring a team and finding a talented workforce. And I like to frame the challenge this way, which is there was not a lot of hiring in manufacturing from 1998 until about 2009. It was pretty much a dead zone. I mean, yes, there was some hiring, but there were way more layoffs and attrition. So there was a lot of lost know-how through those layoffs, and there weren't a lot of people getting into manufacturing because there, frankly, just were not a lot of job opportunities. Now that kind of that kind of age bubble in the workforce is moving along. As you mentioned, they are retiring, and a lot of companies and academic institutions and policymakers have thought hard in unions about how to address this. And I think there are some exciting ideas. I like what is going on in Georgia. I know some companies that we work with as well are taking matters into their own hands. They're recruiting in the high schools. They're offering summer internships to offset the costs of community college. They're helping workers get skills certifications, which are very important in manufacturing today. And then they are guaranteeing them a job in a factory. And this is a job that after 2 years and with overtime, you could be making somewhere in the neighborhood of $90,000, all without a four-year college degree. And it is a crisis nationwide. We actually have an oversupply of what you would call highly skilled workers. And I don't mean this in really a skill sense, but the definition is they have a four-year college degree or beyond, or their work requires that sort of a credential. We have not enough jobs and too many people in that. Same with low-skill professions. These are professions that require no education past or training past high school. We have a surplus of workers, and there are fewer positions. But where there is this gap are the middle-skill jobs, and these are the jobs that Mark has at his plant and where you see in thousands around the country, where we have not enough workers and a lot of job openings that are projecting into the future. I think our technical college, our community college program is going to step up. They respond to changes in the workforce. But think about it like a big ocean liner. You can't turn it around on a dime. It takes a little bit of time. And so just as it took a while for the rust to develop on those talent pipelines, it's going to take a little bit of time to scrape it off. But I'm pretty confident that with our know-how and with entrepreneurs like Mark and the programs like we see in Georgia, that we're going to be able to make a lot of progress.
Well said. Well said. And I must say that many business owners were expressing to me for a long time that they have concerns about the loss of human capital in America during the next 5, 10, 15 years. And that's why so many of them have been outsourcing manufacturing, because they see realistically, if you want to keep that flow of products coming in the stores, you have to get it from somewhere. And with the downturn of manufacturing in America, it really hurt. But now we're on the cycle of change. People like Mark and Rich and Larkin and yourself and all the people involved in the labor movements, everybody's on the same sheet of music. Finally, together, the orchestra can play a tune that we're going to be able to understand and enjoy. The next progress thing we have to do is get after every state governor to do what Georgia has done. And Mark, you mentioned there's about 5 additional states involved. Let me know who they are. Maybe we can add another one or two of them through our efforts.
Yeah, and that's what today was about, really, really closing the deal. Georgia, and it took years. Suffolk, Clyde, and Sandra that, you know, built a business from scratch and had a hard life. This was one of the hardest things they've done, working with the education boards and getting this passed. And a national curriculum is made now. And Scott, Nathan McGill, Vince Vitaro, say hello to you. You know, and I always appreciate what you put into the film. But it's more than just the movie. The movie's probably 10-15% of this whole package with teacher training and whatnot. But, yeah, they've got Texas. I went down last year. They got about 6 states, but they want to work on New York. But all states should adapt it. And basically, to raise awareness that, like Scott said, a lot of these welders, like my welders are still trades. They're going to make some good money, too. Because it's high-tech jobs. It's not the old days. A lot of these tech schools got to get with the businesses and learn what we need today. And I think everybody's talking about the apprenticeships back and keep this moving forward. But good stuff.
You know, I was talking with a few educators this past week, they said, I agree with you that we have to start asking our school boards to have people compete with the trades programs and the regular general curriculum. That's something we haven't done in 20 years. When they came and they presented the budget, it was all for reading and writing and arithmetic, but nothing for future skills that are needed by our manufacturing base.
And Scott, we had on last month, we had a welder on, young guy from Texas, Justin Friend. He's got a six-figure salary, works probably 70, 80 hours a week. So he's working for his pay. He's earning his pay. And we talked about how he was steered, so to speak, in school, whether his guidance counselors, his teachers tried to steer him just toward college, or if they were open and amenable to him pursuing a trade, because he showed himself to be handy at a very young age. The thing about education in a broad sense, which we also talk about on the show, are there indicators that you're seeing, Scott, that school districts there's maybe a bit of a rebirth or a renaissance within school districts as there once was, about introducing and guiding students to the trades. That went away. I think we're in agreement here, all of us, that maybe didn't become totally absent, but it went away significantly. Are you seeing indicators that it's coming back?
It's a good question, and I think the answer is yes, we are seeing some signs of that. I don't know if it's systemic. I went to a conference just a couple of months ago here in Washington where it was a group of career and technical education folks. So these are teachers at the high school level who came together to share success stories about programs. And we had great examples from Toledo and from Chicago and from other parts of the country as well about how they were reengaging with students in this. And I think one of the things that they discovered is, like, you know, you got to do more than just a factory tour. You got to do more than just introduce someone to a manufacturer like Mark. You have to do something even more than talk to their parents, who tend to be very skeptical because they saw a lot of manufacturing jobs being shed in the workforce. And it has to be this almost daily repetition of the possibilities in manufacturing. And I think the really underappreciated aspect of a manufacturing job, which is, and this is across the board, that people who work in manufacturing tend to have far higher job satisfaction than those who work in services or other kinds of professions. And that's precisely because, you know, they can see the end result of what they're doing. They're creating something that has value to somebody else, and they're putting their own stamp on it, and they're doing something with a lot of skill and a lot of proficiency. And so I do think that we are making some progress. The next step in all of this is, and you know, this phrase gets overused, but I think it applies here, is taking this to scale. So these great programs that are working, getting them much more integrated into the thinking and the curriculum. And so I'm excited. Want to commend the work Mark's doing. Mark's a real champion. Hopefully this program in Georgia will really take off, and other states can replicate it, because that is exactly the type of innovative thinking that we need.
You're exactly right. Once there's a good example, everybody else will want to come along. Scott, I want to ask you something. What areas of manufacturing do you see expanding in America right now?
Yeah, this is a really good question. So we are seeing a lot of good things happening in the auto sector right now. The automotive sector is doing well. And is actually reshoring some jobs, and the number for auto production down the road look very good for the months to come.
Wonderful. How about in the textile sector and clothing and shoes and everything else? Has there been any movement beside the few New Balance and others that have come on the market in the last few years in a big way?
Yeah, no, that's a really good question. And so keep in mind the scale of the auto industry. The auto industry and its supply chain touches about one out of every nine manufacturing jobs. So textiles and apparel, by comparison, is just kind of a couple hundred thousand people. So it's a much smaller footprint than the auto sector has. And when you think about where it was and where it is, you have to say we're making a little bit of progress, because for decades, and all of you know this, textiles and apparel was just, you know, headed right off the cliff. And import penetration in apparel and in shoes, that means the percentage of products that Americans are buying that are made overseas, in both clothing and shoes is well over 90%. And in some cases, depending on the product line, it's closer to 98%. And so what we've seen over the last couple of years, however, is that some of that has stopped. We're seeing at least some steadiness in that, and some stability. But it's a fraction of its former self, and a lot of this is still not like publicly, you know, available to large audiences. Like, you can find American-made clothing, and I think all of us do, but you got to go out and look for it.
Right.
You know, it's not going to be in every department store, and so I don't know when or if that is going to change. But that's certainly something that we're going to need to happen if we do want to take this kind of interesting work that's going on in textile and apparel, local manufacturers, and taking that to scale. We're going to need the full participation of the retail sector in that.
You know, Scott, the biggest thing that we've all been able to do is to get people to redo the thinking in their mind and start directing their dollars to more American-made products. That's one of the biggest things that has happened on our radio broadcast during all of our programs that we do, Mark with his store, and all sort of his programs that he does for special holidays and all. Everything is starting to get people to look. How can I help American workers?
Yeah, Scott, and that's a good point in the last minutes we have with you here, that the number of products American made, would you agree that they are slowly but surely increasing in quantity? We're seeing more and more goods spread throughout different industries popping up made in America. I think that is the case, no?
Yeah, in most of them, it certainly is. And you are seeing some in everything from fabricated metals to autos to even some kinds of woodworking. You're certainly seeing it in food processing and things like craft beers. So you are seeing some growth, which is good. You're seeing some of it in chemicals and other industries that are directly related to the much more abundant supply of oil and natural gas that we have domestically. Where we're not seeing it, and I'm just sorry to say this, is in consumer electronics. It's just not happening. And, you know, there is one, TV set that's assembled in the United States, but basically everything shipped from overseas. We saw the Moto X smartphone that Motorola and Google attempted to bring to Texas, and that plant has now closed. And so we see this real stubborn resistance against consumer electronics. That, to me, is one of the last frontiers that we have to break through to really make a difference, because it's so much of consumer purchases today, if you think about it. And so getting that consumer electronics supply chain back to the U.S., finding ways to do that, is a big priority of ours.
Mr. Paul, I have a special guest on the line that needs a moment of your time. Larkin Connolly.
Hey, good morning, everybody. How are you?
Wonderful. We're all here. We're worrying about you. We know that you're on the road, and we can tell that by your transmission.
Yes, I am in, don't anybody tell Rich, I'm in Fort Lauderdale, Florida. And hopefully sometime this afternoon I'll be able to give him a call. But it's, I got on a plane yesterday in Philadelphia and it was 9 degrees, and I landed to 78 degrees. So I think I'm leaving all my sweaters and coats behind and coming home sometime tonight.
Well, don't rush home, because tomorrow it's supposed to be 19 degrees and very, very extremely windy.
Good Lord. So I just really cut in, so I'm almost not qualified to ask Mr. Paul any questions, but do hope that we had that you all have had an opportunity to talk about the lack of relevancy in education and how we are not preparing the youth of America to do anything other than pursue a liberal arts degree in college, never learning a trade or how to work with their hands.
Well, we did speak about that today, Larkin. In fact, we looked a little bit back to see what is happening with the 10,000 people retiring every day, 80% of whom represent some skilled workforce person. So that's a big problem to our a country, our economy, and it also is another excuse for businesses to take their manufacturing jobs overseas, saying that we don't have enough qualified workers here in the USA. And by doing what Mark did today there in Georgia, I mean, it's unbelievable to see the quality of this press release and all that I received. I'm going to ask Henry if he would link that up there so that people would be able to read it step by step to see what was done. Mark.
Yes, I'd like to say, too, the life of my movie film directors, Scott, you met Nathan and Vincent. Vincent told me today he's got a nice documentary releasing this April on textile industry. He said it's awesome. So that's going to be something we're going to look forward to seeing, a new movie. I didn't even know they were on that. Also, I just received that article, and Mike, I passed it around to the guys, on the toy manufacturer in the United States wanting to build that product here, and it's a classic toys, but he couldn't find any contract manufacturers here that could do that. But over in China, 200 are waiting to do that. And, Scott, you know, that's something we know. You know, a lot of people have that want. Again, I have 6,500 products in the four stores now, support 450 American manufacturers. But just like you touched on, Scott, electronics, I have nothing. Really nothing that takes a battery. I do have a light bulb now, but it's kind of sad. Like you said, that's kind of something really needs to be addressed. In fact, but this gentleman that was willing and wanting to make a product in the United States can't find a contract manufacturer, but there's 200 that were ready for him in China. And, you know, Scott, I think you touched on that, but what's your thought of that? I mean, here's a guy, we got to get more manufacturers back.
Yep, we sure do. And Larkin, I'm glad you joined as well. I just have about 30 seconds here before I have to run off. But I agree, and it's going to take a big effort. Part of that is making sure that we have the skilled workforce. Part of that is making sure that Washington steps out of the way when they need to and has the right policies for manufacturing, particularly on trade and some of these other things that we need. And part of it is just having the attitude that that outsourcing to China is not the answer anymore. And I think a new generation of entrepreneurs will understand that. I think it's harder to persuade folks who have been doing it for a while, but it's not impossible, and we'll work every day to try to change their minds.
Very good. Scott, thank you so much for being with us. Our special guest today was Scott Paul. He is the director of the Alliance of American Manufacturing, doing a great job. Thank you so much for the update, and we're going to all have to get together in Philadelphia one day soon. Thank you, Scott.
We look forward to it, and thanks all of you for your great work.
Okay, thank you, guys. I am going to take a pause just to briefly acknowledge all of our sponsors. They will be fully acknowledged tomorrow, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. And they include Dominic Rostotsky, attorney at law, Dr. Eva Marchak, and Michael Steinman, attorney at law, the PRCUA and Mr. Joseph Drobot, president, and Serena's Auto Body Shop, and Mr. Leon Mankowski, attorney at law, as well as Polka Deli, located at 2719 East Allegheny Avenue, and the Polish American Travel Service in Port Richmond, Philadelphia, as well as Giorgio Foods, a symbol of quality since 1928, and Mr. Martin Bednarek, president of Washington Savings Banks, thanks you for all of your efforts to support American Made. Best wishes as well from Yolanda Konopatska DeCipio, attorney at law, and from Karen Janad from State Farm Insurance. And for a great smile, remember Dr. Vojimia Zinn and Everest Dental, located in Northeast Philadelphia. And also best wishes from Mr. Frank Spula, national president of the PNA, the Polish National Alliance. And as you know, the Royal Cracovia Restaurant is located at 510 Whitehorse Pike South in Magnolia, New Jersey. Check them out on the internet at royalcracovia.com. And just want to say that I encourage you to look at the front page of AmericanWorkersRadio.com, and you'll find many links on there that are not only great, they are wonderful, because they tell you a lot of information, and I plead with you to please spread the word about all of our efforts. You'll be able to listen to a rebroadcast of today's show after 1 o'clock today simply by going to AmericanWorkersRadio.com and listen to the program by going to the Listen Anytime link. Also, you will see Mark Andel's face up there, a man who is part of great American history today. And you can click on him and go to his store, Made in America store. He's a great asset to the United States of America. Mark, I may have to run you for some higher office or something, because you are really a great asset. All that you've done through the movie and everything else, I want to talk to you today about some other idea that we're working on. And also look at the other links located on our page, including Go for USA, AmeriLoop, and so many others. And I also urge you to look at the U.S. debt clock located on the right side of the front page, and you will understand fully why all of us are working so hard together to make change happen in the USA. Because as 10,000 people retire a day, we don't have time anymore to play around to get those jobs back. And before I go back to our special guests, Rich Logis, Larkin Connolly, and Mark Andel, I want to say that before another school year is wasted, I'm urging all of you to contact your national and local elected leaders and all of your school board members to insist that more of your tax dollars be used to expand vocational education programs from the 7th through the 12th grade, so that kids have knowledge of hands-on experience. We have a knowledge drain happening in America as the baby boomers retire. And I understand also from so many of them have been asked not to retire, but to stay on the job and train new people because there's simply not enough programs coming from our schools. Well, with that in mind, I'm going to go back to Mark Andel and ask him to give us a little more information about today's special event in Georgia.
Yeah, you know, Mike, it was a big day because, Clyde and Saunders Strickland at Back the Movie had the vision. They started that about 4 years ago now. And to bring it to the level, this was always, Clyde's vision is to get this movie into school. But they found they had to develop the movie itself wouldn't stand alone just as the movie. So they developed this national educational initiative, and which shows, it shows people how to train the teachers and the skilled worker shortage. And it's a whole package. But by Georgia's governor, Nathan Deal, and, John Ratzenberger, I had tied them together last year. And with John being so involved with the skilled worker, program, and he had a not-for-profit. And, he was always pushing the skilled worker need in schools. So to tie Nathan Deal and John Ratzenberger to accept the check on behalf of the, film crew and Clyde and Sonny Strickland and all the heads of, they had the state superintendent, Richard Woods, the deputy superintendent, but then the Georgia Tech and the Georgia Manufacturing Extension Partnership, all the people, this is a great example of what happened today. They closed the deal, 932 schools, and basically it was to show one of the most critical issues confronting Georgia manufacturers was the shallow pool of work-ready talent that we talk about all the time. So this initiative today is really the pilot of what has to happen in the United States, and they think they can lock up about six more states this year to take on the same package. Again, they named it the NEI, National Educational Initiative, and it's where we've got to go, guys. It's what's needed. It's going to raise awareness and tie manufacturers, make awareness to everybody. The manufacturers can't grow without the skilled workers we need, and show this from 5th grade to 12th grade and teach it. So it's just great stuff, Mike, to be part of. And it really closed the deal, and it's done right now. So 932 public state middle and high schools as of August in Georgia will use this program.
Well, Mark, I'm going to ask that we follow through on this because we have a new governor in the state of Pennsylvania, Tom Wolf, and we have a new lieutenant governor, Michael Stack. I'm going to ask them if they would take a look at what happened in Georgia, and so maybe we can add Pennsylvania to that list, because Pennsylvania is a great manufacturing state. But as I said earlier, with the 10,000 people retiring every day, when you put 10,000 people over 50 states, if you just averaged it out, it's only 200 people a day, but that's a lot of people. And if 80% of them have been working in skilled areas, we got to do something now. What happened in Georgia, that governor should be praised because he is taking interest in not only his state, but in the youth of his space.
Yeah, and Mike, what happened today, this press conference, it's, the governor really stressing the importance of America redefining the image of manufacturing to students, you know, across the country. So they had camera crews and everything. These pictures that were taken today, this press conference, this is going to be the marketing tool to promote it to other states. So there'll be a package, and I'll tie with you, Mike, how you get in Philadelphia. They want me to work on New York. So this is the start of something really big. It really is, really put everything we talk about into one package, and it's going to help raise awareness and get everybody on the same page.
You know, Mark, yeah. As you're saying that, I want to add only one thing, and I'm going to go back to Rich. We're talking about getting this into the hands of our governors. I think that this is also something the candidates for presidents, all the presidential candidates on both sides of the aisle, should get involved with this so that we sincerely know what they are going to put on the table as to why they stand out from all the rest.
Mark, I want to say, first off, congratulations again. And like I said last week, I know that in your humility and modesty, you don't want to take credit for these things, but I'm going to unapologetically give you a lot of credit because you've really were one of, and I understand there were many, but you certainly were one of the primary people behind influencing this. And it's going to raise awareness, and I think, Mark, even beyond that, I just can't wait to see in the schools in the next few years that adopt this program, how many students are going to be going to their teachers and guidance counselors saying, I think I want to do that. I think I'd like to try to build that. I think I'd like to try to make this. My parents said that they bought Made in America. And, you know, kids are very, very perceptive. Not that I would know. I don't have my own. But they're perceptive. They'll show you what it is, Mark and Michael, what it is that they want to do, what they're good at. And exposing students, especially at youth, about the possibilities of this. I really give it some time, guys, but I really think the residual effects of adopting this program throughout school districts is going to really turn students on to this. And once the students demand it, Mark, the schools need to meet that demand, don't they?
Yeah, you know, and they had other programs, you know, which related to career opportunities, like STEM, they call it, which was, science, technology, engineering, and math, and then there's one called STEAM they have, and Mark and you tie to that. So they've had good programs, but this kind of brings it all together. Like you said, Rich, you bring this in front of these kids, and they're going to look at it and go, wow, I could be an entrepreneur. I could do this. Well, he did this, or, how do I get into this? But it can spark that interest, and that's what we've lost, you know, because they're not exposed to it at all.
You know, one other thing, Mark, there must be many Clyde and Sandra Stricklands throughout the United States that would like to come on to this type of a project. It's getting the project before them and then let them know how they can participate. Larkin, what would you say to getting more of the foundations and all involved?
Well, I think the first thing I would do, and Mark, congratulations. I read the press release from Shotwell last night and thought these – just a lot more, and I'm really concerned about you getting a big head. So let me add, you're an idiot. Someone's got to call you a name. Just get you down off of cloud nine. It's great. It's great work, Mark, and it's where all of this stuff starts. But I would
Mark,
remind
I think you
the
need
listeners.
A made in Thailand store. Actually,
okay. I'll start one. I'll be the counter side to all of Mark's work, the Made in Thailand, right?
Well, as long as we have a 50-50 balance on the block where your store is located, we'll be happy.
Well, Mark, you can create a Made in the Philippines store, call it the Thrillers of Manila.
right. So the only thing I would say to the movement that they ought to give some thought to, it's great to get the governor involved, and I've got my fingers crossed that we get the right president next time around, and that the second thing that he does, besides find the restroom in the Oval Office, is dismantle the Department of Education and put education back where it belongs, in the hands of each and every state. Once that happens, the governor becomes even that much more important. But if you really want to see where the rubber meets the road, you need to get involved locally in your board of education, and get the people that are incompetent and have bad ideas off of the damn board. Throw them out. Throw the bums out. And put people in there that understand where their local education systems need to be going and what directions they need to be facing, for a lack of a better way of putting it. So board of education is where the rubber meets the road. And let's all vote for the next president who completely and totally dismantles, pound for pound, ounce for ounce, the entire Department of Education.
And, you know, during the campaign, Larkin, the candidate for president has to go around and also acknowledge that this happened in America. He has to acknowledge, or she has to acknowledge, why we have to turn over the whole education system to get our kids with hands-on experience. Because if you never drove a car, then you have no way to know what it's like. And that's the same thing with anything that's going on in our schools. It's great to look at computers, but the computers are not hands-on experience.
We need to get away from being elitist. We're so famous in this country for being elite. We're faster, we're smarter, we're quicker. We get things done better than anybody else, and it's all aligned because we're slowly falling behind. We need to take charge and realize that there is nothing wrong with working with your hands.
Right. And
nothing
working
whatsoever.
And working with your hands will make you better, and you will have a better paying job.
I don't know about all of that, but I'm just saying there should be no embarrassment to vocational education. And quite frankly, it was, you know, you kind of made fun of the guys and gals that, you know, went to Votech. I went on to Peabody and got a college prep degree, and poor Antonoid over there, he had to go to Votech. Well, guess what? There's nothing wrong with that. We need to take that stigma out of it. I don't know where it came from, and I don't know who's promoting it. But there is no stigma to vocational technical education, none whatsoever.
Right. Look at Justin Friend, the perfect example. A guy who's young, qualified, can't work enough because his skills are needed. We need more of those people. You know, we're going to talk next week, Mark, about what jobs are needed in the new world of manufacturing in the USA, because those are the programs we're going to start pushing people to contact their Board of Education about. Many people are doing the job. I have to say, they tell me they call. There's always a brush off. We don't have the money. It's all about money. Maybe it's time for us to have the Board of Education allow the people to compete for the dollar. So much for general academics, others for vocational arts. I mean, I think it's time that we start divvying up the money the way the people, the taxpayers, want to divvy it up.
Well, that,
yeah, and I think, go ahead, Rich.
Excuse me, Mark. And as usual, Larkin, you pull no punches and are honest. And I'm going to echo all of the sentiments you're saying about the elitism. I would add to it that we just seem to suffer from some kind of ailment that, because of our belief that America is number one, and let's say for argument's sake, all things considered, maybe we are number one, probably are, that this ailment of elitism of such is this weird comfort that because we think we're one, and because the rest of the world's got it so bad, supposedly, that it's okay to ignore these flaws and serious issues that we have. And that ailment can't be cured by some fantasy elixir. It's done by understanding what's occurring, trying to elect lawmakers who show a sense of understanding this. Mark, influencing it with our wallets, all of these principles that we've talked about. So this is part of this elitist, this fantasy, that this la-la land of a world that we live in, that because we're one, it's okay to ignore economic issues, trade issues, job issues, healthcare issues, whatever the issues are. So sorry, Mark. I didn't mean to interrupt. Just wanted to make
No problem. I just agree with Larkin, too. And like you said, he pulls no punches. But the stereotype, I had friends that went to Bosey's, and Larkin, you know, Bosey's up in New York. Tech school, you get a choice in the ninth, I believe it's 10th grade, that you can go for 2 years of this Bosey's program. But they're all looked at as a lower life or lower level, which isn't fair. And we've got to change it. I think you're working – you touched on a main disconnect there, that we've got to make it okay, and you can be proud of and be excited about getting into technology and skilled trades.
You know, I'm proudest most of all in my family, and I've got to make this my last remark because I'm having to stand in the shade to have this conversation, and I want to get out in the sun, although it's Rich will say I'm a liar because it is overcast in Fort Lauderdale right now, but that truth be known. You know, one of the people that I'm proudest with in my entire life is my kid brother. And he's educated. He's intelligent. He reads. He votes incorrectly a little bit, but he votes. He's a part of society. He's a part of the fabric of society. And he's a carpenter and a plumber. Kind of a jack of all trades. He's got, you know, like 11 guys that work for him. He's got 6 trucks on the road. He lives a very handsome and quiet living, and all is well in my brother's life. And I'm really, really proud of him because the last thing I would call him is a dumb carpenter. He's a smart carpenter that makes a lot of money and lives a good life. With that, I'll say I love you all and can't wait to talk to you next week.
Larkin, thank you much for joining. Stay cool, and remember, tomorrow it's going to be 17 or 19 degrees and winds 40 to 60 miles an hour.
Yikes.
I got heated in Atlanta. It's only 20 degrees, guys.
Rich, thank you so much for your work today, and your pay is very high, 0, as all of us. Mark, the same thing. Thank you for your participation. I always tell people, they say, they're so good. And I said, yeah, well, they come at the best price, 0. So thank you, guys. You are unbelievable. Mark, I need to talk to you. I'll talk to you in a few minutes. But I do want to say, please go out of your way to contact your national, local, and your school boards and make sure that those officials know that you want change in the school system. And for your convenience, right on the front page of American Workers Radio, there is a link. It says contact your elected officials. Click on that, put in your zip code, and you'll know exactly who to contact. Well, ladies and gentlemen, thank you for tuning in. Thanks again, Mark. Congratulations to you and to all that has happened today in Georgia. We'll be putting a link up to that today, and also some information about Scott Paul and his association there in Washington. Until this Saturday at 11 or next Wednesday at 11, I wish you and yours the very best. Please do spread the word because Americans need us. God bless.
Thank you,
God bless America.